Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome, my friends. This is Pastor Butch Paul. It is 29 April 2025. Welcome to tonight's broadcast. We're glad you're with us. We're going to bring up a special guest. Haven't had on for a while. Well, he was on a while back, but I'm going to have him on again because I really enjoy what this man does. I enjoy what he puts out. I follow a lot of things he does. We're going to talk to David Daniels. He is the one that's in charge of Chick Publications. We're going to discuss about a topic tonight that I think in a lot of places is very controversial, but in my mind it's already settled. Well, it's not really a hard decision to make when you know the truth. So hang in there. Don't go away. Before we go to David, though, I got a prayer request. It might be a little bit late, but I just got it this past Thursday, and it went on the air last night. Mary from Washington State. Or Idaho, I think, Idaho, asked for prayer for his sister, Debbie. Debbie's been pretty sick, so you folks keep Debbie in your prayers, please. You prayer warriors, our Father knows everything about it, and I ask you to please take Debbie to the Lord, please, and petition the Father to touch her body and heart and mind, give her a peace, and maybe by His will and grace, heal the body. So keep Debbie in prayers, please. And we're offering tonight, tomorrow night, for the last time, the books have been offering, the three books on how to witness to Jehovah's Witnesses, Catholics, and Mormons. If you have friends involved in any of those cults, these little booklets are very valuable, folks, very valuable. All three books, including postage, $44.95, delivered. And I would suggest if you want to witness these people, if you want to help them, take time to show them the truth. Nothing else, let them read the book if they will. And the book I've been offering this month also, Setting Captives Free, a primer on spiritual warfare by Ken Copley, or Copley. I'm not real sure how Dr. Copley pronounced his name. But a book that will tell you how to recognize spiritual oppression or possession, how to confront it, how to talk to the people about the situation, how you can discern when someone is in bondage. All this in this little book. It's 99 pages long. It's available at $14.95 while they last. I'm going to order some more of them, and I know the price is going to go up. Everything does, including postage. Just found out the other day that the post office lost millions of dollars last year. I don't know how, but they did. So they're going to be raising postage again real sure. This book's available now, $14.95 if you want it, and I hope that you'll get it. If nothing else, just to read for your own information to see how common this situation is. And most people today, most churches don't even believe it. Now, that's a fact. You can order these things by calling our office at 800-777-4403. Or if you have long distance, please call our toll number, 304-846-4448. We just got a fresh shipment today of Strauss products, and also the heart drops and the cardio drops and all the others are here. We just got them in today. Matter of fact, it's still in the box. So if we have that available along with vitamin toothpaste and mouthwash. Folks, we get all that available. You can call tomorrow at between 9 and 4, and if Faith didn't answer the phone, she'll call you back and see what you need, what she'll help you all she can. And we'll get the stuff out to you this coming Thursday, as usual. So that's all available. Just keep that in mind, please. And I know y'all want the update on Marsha Jean. Took her about 2.5-3 hours north here in Morgantown, West Virginia, to the see a Dr. Ball that's going to do the surgery the 16th of next month on her shoulder, right shoulder. The last doctor did it, didn't do a very good job. He's going to have to redo it. So I'm praying that's going to take away a lot of pain in her shoulder eventually. So we went up there and spent the whole day doing that. Didn't get home until rather late yesterday evening, and I was pretty much wore out. So Coach Dave filled in for me yesterday, and I really appreciate Coach Dave doing that for me. I mean that. So anyway, that's what's going on with Marsha. Let's keep you posted on what's coming in the near future. She is hurting badly in a lot of different ways, so keep Marsha in your prayers, please. She's not feeling well at all. Now, our guest tonight is David W. Daniels. Like I said, he is the head of Czech Publications. I'm going to let him tell you about who he is very quickly for new listeners, what he does, how long he's done it. Then we're going to discuss a topic on why we use the KJV only. I have a book I've been offering through a ministry here that he wrote quite a while back entitled Look What's Missing. And folks, I'll tell you this, I'm saying this out of pure love. If you don't use the authorized King James Version Bible, you're missing a lot. I know people don't want to believe that. They all King James is homosexual, which is a lie. He wasn't. And all this, and I've studied enough to know over 50 years preaching, which Bible I trust and why I trust it. I've dug a little deeper, along with other people that are much more learned than me, including David, but Tex Myers and others, who have told you the same thing. You go back as far as you want to, this Septuagint and all you want to do, but this book is accurate. If you don't believe me, get out your concordance, look up the words, what they mean, and see how deep meaning these words have, more than we understand normally on just a passive reading. So anyway, welcome to the program, David. It's good to have you.
It's wonderful to be here.
Well, I do appreciate taking time to join me. I really do, because I enjoy what you do, the tracks you send out. I enjoy all those, and it's so vitally important. But tell the folks very quickly, for new listeners, who you are, how you got involved with Czech Publications, and why you continue to do this.
All right. Well, Czech Publications was founded by Jack Chick back in 1961 because he was so burdened for souls, and he was a comic. He loved to draw comics, and he had done lots of comic art and various kinds of art. And he wanted to reach the lost. He was so burdened for souls that he did something revolutionary and started making gospel tracts that were actual comics that told a story that drew a person in, that produced an emotional reaction, that caused them to make a decision. And so these little paper evangelists started out as much bigger until 1970 when the printer said, I'm going to go with the four spiritual laws, this little smaller pamphlet thing. Can you make your thing smaller? And he did, and Chick Tracts exploded. And I was saved by a Chick Tract back on June 7th, 1972. And so many millions of others have been saved. Over a billion tracts have gone in over 150 languages around the world. And I am privileged. I was privileged to work with Jack for 16 years, from 2000 to 2016, and continue to write the tracts. The Lord let me continue to write tracts. And now I'm drawing them, too, because the second artist, Fred Carter, passed away a few years ago. So now I'm drawing them as well. But I also am very convinced and convicted regarding the King James issue. I am not from a King James background at all. I'm multi-denominational, everything. I've been in the occult and in Mormonism and in all sorts of things. And when I went to Bible college and seminary, I learned all the textual criticism, and I was a top student in my Greek, and walked in as a top student at Fuller Seminary, got my Master of Divinity in Theology and Linguistics. Debbie and I, my wife, both studied at Wycliffe Bible Translators and did the 3 summers of the Summer Institute of Linguistics. I was all set to go a certain direction, and the Lord turned it all around. And the way he did it ultimately was starting with a simple question. If God did something right the first time, why would he need to do it a second? And so the King James Bible came out, and the Bible even tells you, even in a Jehovah's Witness Bible, what God expects. If you read his words, what he's going to do in your life, he's going to bring you faith, he's going to bring you hope, he's going to bring you assurance, like an anchor, and he's going to make you stand through the hardest surroundings around you and stand firm for him and for his love and for the gospel, to spread it around, to have revival, to have world missions, and only of all the modern Bibles, all the Bibles you can list up, the King James Bible did just that. But 200 years later, a guy named Westcott and a guy named Hort and a number of other people got together and created a new set of Bibles. And this new set of Bibles changed a lot of Scripture. And what I found out was the Scriptures that, or that they said were original were actually changed. They were Gnostic modifications. People who don't believe that Jesus is God, don't believe that Jesus is eternally God, and don't believe that Jesus is even equal to God. And so they modified a lot of things. And in the 1800s, even some people who believe what I just told you, a modern-day Gnosticism called Unitarianism, were allowed on the committee that created the first of the modern English Bibles called the English Revised Version of 1881, followed by the American Standard of 1901. And all these Bibles that are not like that are not trying to be imitations of the King James use this alternate set of manuscripts. And this alternate set of manuscripts turns you not to faith, but to doubt.
Wow. You said a mouthful. And by the way, your spiritual birthday was almost exactly a year later than mine. I was born again the last Wednesday night of June 1971. You said 72 when you were saved, right?
June 7th, 1972. I wrote it in the Chick Tract.
So we were just
by
about
a Chick Tract. This was your life.
Hey, I read that Chick Tract, obviously. Now, that's been around a while.
Mm-hmm.
So you've been involved now in this work then for how many years?
25 and a half years.
And you pretty much do most of the writing and all your drawings all by yourself now. So you keep it running yourself,
I do it all,
basically.
Yeah.
Okay, wow. That's quite a load.
There's an awful lot of people. There's a
well, that's
of
quite a load to carry. That's a big load to carry.
It's still a lot, yes.
It truly is. And
the burden is really for the souls.
Oh, yeah. Well, I understand. You're not doing it for glory, that's for sure. That's for sure. So you got started with this 20-something years ago, and I know for a fact, as I've read the summaries, I've read the reports on them, many souls have been brought to Christ because of the gospel found in these little tracts, and they scattered all over the world. I know that to be a fact. It's hard to imagine that one man started this in 61, and how many souls have come to Christ over something, such a simple idea. Present the gospel in a little tract in a cartoon format and teach the gospel of Christ, and people all over the world have received Christ because of this, we would call maybe a simple act, and I guess in a sense it is, but what a mighty thing to do to spread the gospel over the world, and something they can read in 2 or 3 or 5 minutes and understand enough of the gospel to be saved. That is phenomenal, David. That really is.
It is. And again, like I said, it's just like Hair Club for Men. I'm not just the representative. I'm also a client. I got saved by a Chick Tract myself, and I believe in them. I hand them out constantly. I keep pockets, my right and left pockets filled with tracts. And I'm always trying to, and my jackets are filled with them too. I always want people to have that opportunity so that they can escape hell and actually realize that someone else paid the price for their sin, and that they can simply put themselves in humility before the Father with the conviction of the Holy Ghost, and they can become a part of his family forever.
That is, what precious words, and how true that is. How true that is. Now, this book I'm looking at right now entitled Look What's Missing. Now, folks, you're going to find out, you just take time to look and see what it says. They just didn't change some words, and they left out an entire verses. They left out entire verses that were critical to salvation. And to me, that was not done by chance. I don't care what your so-called authority is. When you leave out the Word of God, you're leaving out part of what you need to either be born again or serve Christ with the full armor. They promised this. And this is what these new so-called virgins have done. And I think that anyone that seeks the truth are going to want to copy this little booklet. And for goodness sake, get it, read it, and share it. Now, Jack, I called you Jack. David, so you wrote this book. When did you write it? How many years ago?
Oh, it was all the way back at 2009.
Oh, wow.
When we published it.
And it's still
not up to date. Since, of course. Well, the thing is, you can check it against any Bible, because at the end I even have charts that you can look at, and you can see the percentage, the version, the number of things missing, the number of things put into italics or put into brackets or set apart, and out of 257 possible verses, what their score is. And no matter what it is, any score other than 100% means that something's missing. But let me give you something. Let me give you a few verses that the person listening to the show right now can write down on a piece of paper. Get out a piece of paper. Get out your notepad if you have your computer or your cell phone. Pull up a little pad and write these verses down. And I'm going to walk you through something that's going to amaze you. You ready?
Okay.
Micah 5:2. That's the Christmas verse. Micah 5:2. Let's just go through them. Start with that one. But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me, that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting. Okay? Now, there's two words in there that are changed in modern Bibles. And you can just check your Bibles, guys. Whatever Bible you use, have some fun with it. Now, Jesus, the first one is going forth. Jesus has always been going forth because he's God. He's active. So Deuteronomy 23:23, what proceedeth from a person's lips and a vow? Same word. The goings out of the children of Israel, Numbers 33:2. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord, Deuteronomy 8:3. Horses brought out of Egypt, 1 Kings 10:28. A spring of waters, not talking about the origin of the spring, but the fact that it's a movement coming out of it. And again, you'll know this one from Daniel 9:25, the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. It's an active word. Jesus has always been going forth, but if you look in a lot of the modern Bibles, going forth has been changed to origin. Mm. Does Jesus have an origin? If you have the complete Jewish Bible, the Holman Christian Standard, God's Word to the Nations, Catholic New American Bible, the Net Bible, the NIV, Catholic New Jerusalem, the New Living, New Revised Standard, even the Jehovah's Witness 2013, Revised Standard, TNIV, Jewish Publication Society, Common English Bible, Isaac Leeser and the George Noyes, the two ones that they've thrown out, and a lot of others, it'll say some version of origins. If he has an origin, he's not God.
Amen. Amen.
Now, let me look at the second one. The second one is from everlasting. From everlasting. In 1380, Wycliffe translated it as from days of everlastingness. That was his term. 85% of the time, that Hebrew word is termed some form of forever. That means Jesus is from outside time, because time is a beginning, right?
Right.
So if you just say it's ancient times, then Jesus had a beginning, right? So Jesus has been active and active from forever. So from everlasting, other versions say from ancient days, the Complete Bible, Common English, ESV, the Leeser, the MEV, the Modern English Version that they try to use to substitute for the King James, the NRSV, the RSV, they all say ancient days. ancient times, the CEV, the Complete Jewish Bible, the Good News Bible, Talmud New American, the 2011 NIV, Revised English Bible, TNIV. They all say ancient times and other ones. There's also the Message, the New Century, Rotherham, Young's Literal. I could go on. International Children's Bible have similar meanings, saying that if Jesus had an origin, he'd be a created being. And if Jesus was from ancient days, he would have been created in time. Does that sound like it's raising Jesus? Or does it sound like it's lowering Jesus? Would you want to trade your King James for one of the Bibles that lowers Jesus to a created being? Now, here's the next. Ready, five verses.
If you do, you've lost everything. Go ahead.
The five verses are this. Ready? You got your pencils out? John 1:3, John 1:10, Ephesians 3:9, Colossians 1:16, and Hebrews 1:2. I'll do it again. John 1:3 is the first one. John 1:10 is the second one. The third one is Ephesians 3, verse 9. The fourth one is Colossians 1:16. And the fifth one is Hebrews 1, verse 2. There are five verses with six references to Jesus as creator. So John 1:3, all things are made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That's what it says in the King James Bible. It's amazing. Very simple. By him, he's the creator. That's a standard doctrine of the Christian church. Jesus Christ is the creator. God the Father delegated to the Son to be the creator. Number two, John 1:10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Again, Ephesians 3:9 is the third one. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. The fourth one, Colossians 1:16, for by him, that's the first part, were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. So there's two places, one and two, say, by him. And the fifth verse, Hebrews 1:2, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So in the passive voice, the person who is the creator is Jesus Christ. But that's not how it is in a lot of my modern versions. Again, John 1:3, by him. John 1:10, by him. Ephesians 3:9, by Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:16, by him. And Hebrews 1:2, by whom. All five verses show that the worlds were created by Jesus Christ. But the modern Bibles change this. And they say all things were created through him. He's just the middleman. The Father is the creator. The Son is just a middleman for the Father. That means Jesus, you could even say he's lesser than the Father. That's what was said by Mansfield Caseman when he was looking for his ordination in 1981 or two. If you believe Jesus is God, no, I believe that God is God. And so he used that, and he ultimately ordained him, even though he didn't believe Jesus Christ was God. Jesus Christ is the creator, but modern Bibles change this to say Jesus is not the creator. Only the Father is the creator. Jesus is only a middleman. And if you want to hear a number of Bibles that say through him in at least one of these five verses in six places, Amplified, American Standard, Bible and Basic English, there's the CB, the CEB, the CJB, the Christian Standard, the Darby, English Majority Text, Revised Version, English Standard, Expanded Bible, Good News, God's Word, the International Children's Bible, Jerusalem, King James 2, King James 3, Knox, Keys of the Kingdom Bible, that's a new one, Living Bible, the LITV, the MEV, the MEV, Modern English Version, the King James Lookalike, Idiomatic Translation of the New Testament, MKJV, that's the Modern King James, the Modern Liberal Version, Moffat, Messianic Renewed Covenant, the Message, New American, New American Standard, New Century, New English, Net Bible, NIRV, NIV 1984-2011, New King James, New Jerusalem, New Living, New Revised Standard, Jehovah's Witness, the New World Translation, Phillips, the Revised English Bible, the Rotherham, the Revised Patriarchal Text, RSV, Complete Bible, Clear Word, TNIV, the Passion, Weymouth, and Young's Literal, and that's just most of them.
Wow.
Changing the doctrine of Christ, and that's why people, when they're tested by Lifeway, by various other surveys, they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Creator. They don't believe that He's eternal. They don't believe He's eternally God. They believe that He lied. They believe that He sinned. They do that because of the verses that are changed in these modern Bibles using the Gnostic text, and that is what I've spent years writing on. I wrote two books called, one is the world's oldest Bible a fake? It's about the Codex Sinaiticus, one of the two that's used to make modern Bibles. And the second one is like it. It's called Who Faked the World's Oldest Bible? And it's a whodunit. You can go through it from beginning to end. I give the entire kitchen sink. All the information is there for you to see with a massive timeline, with all the data right there in front of you. And the new book I just did that's going to be published in the next month is Westcott and Hort, From Faith to Doubt, Two Men Trapped in a Century of Doubt and How It Affects You. And it tells how this whole thing started with Westcott and Hort. And it shows you how they were basically the equivalent of Bible college students and how they lost their faith in Bible college.
Now, you know, that's an important point. Westcott and Hort were not truly born-again believers, were they? The backslid, so to speak.
It's hard to say that they were born again since they never affirmed
yes.
the doctrines that a born-again person would affirm. I try to keep things very straightforward, but you read their own words. The majority of this book is their words. All I did is go through their writings, their own words, carefully analyze them, and show you what they were really doing. Every footnote is analyzed. Everything they talk about the Bible, I show you Westcott, when he gets engaged, he has a girlfriend, and then he gets engaged to her, then he gets married to her, and the letters he wrote to her, which tell you a great deal about how his faith dropped, and then what happened, and what happened in the 1800s, and what happened with the Catholic Church, and how they completely infiltrated and messed up what was going on in the Church of England and in the colleges there. And because it was considered the official religion, Christianity, see, college was therefore like a Bible college is now. And what we see in there is something that matters to us and connects with us, and I can identify with it. And often in the book, I relate back to what happened to me when I was in Bible college and seminary.
All right, hang on that thought, please, through the break. Folks, back at the break, a lot more coming in. I hope you're paying attention. And we have the book available if you want it. Just let us know. If you have any questions, comments tonight, please feel free to call. Love to hear from you. 717-300-1698.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the Manna Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the Manna a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406 206- 274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us, and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. superiormountainherbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Folks, we are back. We're talking to David Daniels of Chick Publications. The phone line's open if you have any comments and questions. I was just sharing during the break that several years ago, that I was a fairly close friend of Mel Gibson's dad, Hutton Gibson. He lived just about 20 minutes from where I live. He moved into Summersville, West Virginia, and we got to be pretty close friends. He was the only Catholic they ever talked to that I could bring scriptures up and show him that they were contrary to his beliefs, and he didn't get mad at me. He had what he thought were solid answers, even to the point he actually believed that the wafer they chewed on turned to the flesh of Christ, and the wine they drank actually turned to the blood of Christ. I said, but that's against scripture. It doesn't work. We're not cannibals. But nonetheless, he and I had some discussions. He never changed his mind or anything, obviously, but nonetheless, we talked. Most people that you talk to about scriptures, whether it be Catholics or Mormons or whatever, show up with the Bible, they become very defensive, and after a while, they become angry. I've had Jehovah's Witnesses walk away from me when I've challenged them on the different things they've tried to teach. Now, I'm not throwing stones at these people. A lot of them are good, moral people, and they're sincere. But they're sincerely wrong when it comes to salvation, and by salvation by grace, they're sincerely wrong on that, and that's just the way it is. So these books I've been offering for this month are available if you want to see these facts in writing. Now, David, I'm going to get out of your way because you're doing such a good job. I don't interfere with you. You go ahead and continue your lecture about the KJV.
Sure. Special about the King James Bible is that it has the answers where any of these other Bibles you can pick up, and I've read them. Let me give you leave you with only questions. Let me give you a little background. I've read the New American Standard, the NIV, the RSV, a number of different all sorts of different Bible versions from beginning to end. I've been doing this for a very long time.
I'd like to just add one thing.
I'd like to just add one thing.
Mm-hmm. Over the years, our ministry has been in touch with many inmates in prison for different reasons. Some of them I know are totally innocent, and some of them were the J6ers. I mean, I've talked to a couple of them. But nonetheless, the one thing that we had a hard time getting into them was a KJV Bible. They get a Bible, but the KJV was not allowed in most prisons. Now, that's a fact. I can tell you that's the truth. There's got to be a reason for that. But now go ahead. Go ahead.
Yeah, and what I found, again, as a top Greek student in my Bible college and studied all the textual critical stuff and then studied the linguistics, my linguistics major in my Bible college and then theology and linguistics in my master's, the divinity at Fuller Seminary, and the time with Wycliffe Bible Translators training, all that I learned showed me that they're really just two Bibles. They're really just two Bibles. If you add it all up, and I've done it for a long, long time, and you can see it and look what's missing, you get that book, you'll be able to see it for yourself. There really are only just two kinds of Bibles. They're the ones that follow the Sinaiticus and Vaticanus and Alexandrinus and supposedly the papyri, if those are real. They follow those, which are really just Gnostic writings that are at, they're modifying the Bible. And then there's the traditional text, which is perfectly represented and cleaned up and fixed in the King James Bible. God himself did it because he promised he would. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. And he said, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. God is the one who promises to preserve his words, and he can pick anybody he wants to do what he wants to do, and he did it. And then he signified it by the massive faith, the massive revivals, the massive world missions that never has been equaled by people who simply read and believed the King James Bible. Does that sound like the devil to you? Now, this is an interesting thing. There are three things a textual critic will not do, or they do that are different. Number one, they will not follow the rule of the Bible. They follow the rule that they made up themselves. If you take it out of Latin and put it into English, it is this. The basis of textual criticism is the harder reading is to be preferred. That means if you have a bunch of manuscripts and some are really easy to understand, they make sense, and then there's other ones that get kind of complex and kind of weirded out and stuff, well, those weirded out ones are probably the older ones. They teach this because they teach that the tendency for humans is to smooth things out. This is the way they think. They're doing this in this, they think a scientific fashion, starting with doubt and then working their way to faith, which is the opposite of what the Bible says. Jesus said to Thomas, blessed is he that had not seen and yet believed. So God wants us to believe him and believe his words. Let me give you a scripture out of Deuteronomy chapter 4. God said through Moses, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that you may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. So how would you know if you're adding to or taking away from God's holy words unless you have them? You can't have a hope to get a hold of them. Otherwise, you'd never know if you added to or took away from them. You'd never know if you'd have all of them. God has to do his part and give us those words. So he has to give them to us in a book. Otherwise, we're stuck. So the first thing they do is they make this rule of textual criticism that the harder reading is to be preferred. So they're looking for a contradictory text. They're looking for a grammatically incorrect text. They're looking for a text that doesn't always make sense. They're looking for two texts that aren't consistent with one another. Those are the texts they're looking for. That is textual criticism. I'm got really good grades in this stuff. I know what I'm talking about. You can look it up for yourself. So that's the first one. The second thing is they totally underestimate the power of Almighty God. God has said, I have a plan, and I'm going to work the plan. And they say, no, it's our job to figure out what you said. The third thing they do is they completely underestimate the sinister power of the devil. In fact, you won't find a textual critic talking about the devil. Why? The very first words in the Bible are God's words being disputed by the devil in the person of the serpent. Yea, hath God said? Do you think he ever changed from that modus operandi? Do you think he ever changed from that mode when he found how well it worked? It literally caused the fall of the entire human race? Of course he's going to do it. He didn't sit on his hands when God preserved his words. He'd always be trying to substitute, put something else in its place. So let me tell you again, there are two different kinds of Bibles. There's all these Bibles that add up on one side, and there's the King James Bible, the traditional text, on the other. A single language Bible with simple verses that you can look at yourself. They've been the same for over 400 years. So let me ask you, if you're God, would you have put in that verse in Micah 5:2? Would you have translated it to say that Jesus was a created being? Or would you probably have wanted to have it so that Jesus is your delegated creator? He is the creator of all things. That was what was just done by the Son. So is it that or one or the other? If you're God, would your Bible have that? Would your Bible have consistency about this, about his unsaying? Would your Bible say that Jesus had an origin and he was a created being in time and actually have words like that? Would your Bible be consistent between Ephesians and Colossians with redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, or Colossians where it has we have redemption through his blood, there's forgiveness of sins? They're consistent in the King James, in all the other Bibles. We have redemption through his blood in the Ephesians, and we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. But redemption is not forgiveness. It is a clear error. There are clear words missing. Through his blood are missing.
And, you know, I don't consider that an error. I consider that an intentional act.
Yeah, I'm getting there.
Okay, all right.
Turn it on its head. You did it, you did it, you did it. Let's turn it on its head. If you were the devil, which Bible would you lift up? One that makes it clear that Jesus Christ is the creator, one that makes it clear that his high position and that he's the creator of even the devil himself. Would the devil make that Bible? Would the devil like a Bible that is very clear that Jesus did never lie, that he always told the truth, that he never sinned, he was never angry without a cause is missing from the other Bibles? Would you have a Bible that is consistent about heaven, about hell, about angels, about devils? Would your Bible say that salvation is by grace through faith only? That there is a lot of work to salvation, but all that work was done by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He did the work because we can't possibly work our way to heaven. We can't possibly clean our sins off, but he did for us. If you were the devil, would you choose that Bible? Or would you choose the one that lowers Jesus Christ below you? Lowers Jesus Christ as a created being in time? That would make him even younger than the devil, because the devil is older than the creation. Would you make him, with the devil, like a Bible that takes the salvation and says it's also like by works, like every other religion on earth? Would he like a Bible that is inconsistent, that has contradictions, that not only lowers Jesus Christ, but separates out the Godhead, that removes verses that say Jesus is the creator, that he is God? God manifest in the flesh, and just say he existed in a body, or who was manifest in the flesh, where it said God before? If you were the devil, which Bible would you choose? There really are two. There's all the stuff in column A, and there's the King James Bible in column B. Which do you choose if you're the devil?
Before we got calls coming in, before we go to calls, though, which so-called denominations teach against the King James Bible as far as being contrary to what it says? Which denominations, will say the major ones in our country, teach contrary that Christ was a creator?
They don't say it directly. That's the whole key to this.
Right, right.
The key to what the devil does is he works through doubt, through these different things. There are religions, there are cults that do that. Mormonism, of course, has Jesus as being one of the gods in the council of the gods from one of the millions of spirit wives, the firstborn, and Lucifer, the secondborn. Jehovah's Witnesses have Jesus as a created being. They got that. But, you know, in the 1800s, in the 1600s, 1700s, 1800s, there was a group called the Unitarians. And their Unitarians taught that Jesus wasn't really God. And what I show in my book, What's God Hort from Faith to Doubt, is coming out in the next month or so. What I show in that book is there were two Unitarians, one in America and one in England, on the two committees that created the modern Bibles. And those two Unitarians got their way, and I show how. It's all in the book. I show know how they got their way, and they put those doubting verses in. Now, you can get saved simply by faith in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you want to have a consistent walk and know what God said, you need to have a book that has all his words, not most of them, and they need to be consistent. The modern textual scholar will tell you man smoothed out the words and made them make sense. God's word tells us that God is the one in charge of getting us the word, and we're not supposed to add to it or take away from it. So people who are listening right now, you guys have to make a choice. Do you want a Bible that gives you the answers or one that leaves you with questions?
Good point. Let's take a phone call. Let's go to Arizona and talk to Gary. Gary, come on in, sir.
And I'm sorry, your guest, I'm sorry, I forgot your name.
David.
David. Okay, David, as you can figure out already, I'm not the sharpest tack in a box, so but I'm in a box. And I have been fortunate enough in my life to start off with the King James Bible, and I've still been reading that. And I want to tell you a little story here, but really, really quickly. I don't want to take up a lot of time. You know, I do a street display here in Arizona, and I show people what really happens to these little children when that are being killed and pulled apart right from their mother's wombs. And just doing terrible things to these little bitty preborn babies who are made in God's image and God's likeness. And so we show people what really happens with what people call abortion here on the street. So I do it as a street display out there. I believe that God called me to do that. But anyways, over the years, I've been out there quite a long time now. I know you're going to be familiar with this track. It says, "Who killed Clarice?"
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Who murdered Clarice?
Yes, you're right. Who murdered? That's right. See, but you got people correcting me already. And I guess that's a good thing. But anyways, so when I've been out there for about the last 10 years, I pass out that track when I'm out there. And, and I'm with, a couple of different groups. So, one of them is Created Equal. And it's got a picture of a little baby in vitro here. So I put those inside that track right there. So when people pass me by on the street, if I don't get a chance to talk to them, I try to do whatever I can to get this in their hand. And then I just pray for them.
Beautiful.
As they walk away, I pray for them.
Beautiful.
And then we've had people come back, and my little team could get around them, and we could pray for them, and try to send them to a church. One of the better churches here, all churches are not really churches. You know that. And try to send them to a place that really preaches the Word of God from the Word of God. So we do that here. And like I said, when I got that track right there, Who Murdered Carice, and as a matter of fact, it was my son who sent it to me. Now, I passed out various other tracks from Trick Track over the years, but as soon as I got that one, I used that one all the time because it fits in so much with what we do to lift up Jesus Christ, the babe. People want, it's just a bunch of cells inside a mother's womb. No, that's God's image and God's likeness in the early stages of development. So if I get that into their hand, I do. But before I leave town, I visit a bunch of bathrooms and the gas stations and stuff like that and leave it there, too.
Amen.
So you want to go in and take care of your business, you just go ahead and pick that up right off the old sink right there and take a look at it and see what God wants to do.
And Gary,
let somebody else get on. Yes.
And Gary, how long you been doing this on the streets now?
That's about 10 years.
10 years. He's been faithful to you,
God.
David. He's been faithful. I mean, he's been faithful all year round.
And I bought a lot of chick tracks from you.
Praise God.
We both.
That's awesome.
Oh, there's another. I'll take one more minute, maybe. I got this one. I got a woman that's she's fully dressed, but she's got her baby. You should see the baby next to her stomach there, so you can see what the baby would look like in her stomach. So it's a real pretty girl. So I mean, that attracts men. I hope. And so that causes them to pick the whole thing up. So I can, you know, I try to reach people in any possible way that I can, whether it's word of mouth, on the telephone, going to different denominations, and trying to save the little bitty babies and bring people to the very mercies of God. And I don't care who you are. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, you are not, by grace you are saved, not through faith and not of works of yourself. It's a gift of God. Okay, not works, lest any man should boast. Now, here we go. Okay, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto good works,
amen,
which God ordained that we should walk in them. So if you want to sit there and say, well, I can't do that, I want to assure you that you can. You can hand somebody a tract. If they take it, fine. If they don't take it, that's fine, too, but you pray for them. God bless you both.
Thank you, Gary.
I wish you both the very best.
Thank you, Gary.
God bless you.
I'll tell you what, David, he's been a family member of this ministry for many, many years. He really has. Let's go to Jan in Iowa. Jan, come on in. Welcome.
Hello, Pastor. We're back on God is Jesus again. Or Jesus is God again. Go to Revelations again, and where they are talking about the throne, the beast, and the angel or the light coming to collect the book of life out of the hand of he that sits on the throne. Jesus' book is the book of life, and he takes it from his Father. And then if you go to Revelation 5, verse 7, you will see where it says, God is on the throne, God and the Lamb are dwelling on the new earth, when Jesus goes to the garden, when he's about, he knows he's going to be taken, he knows what's going to happen to him. He asks his Father, God, who, or if there was anything else that could be done, and his Father said, no.
Okay. Comments on that, David?
There can only be one God. Jesus is the light. But okay. God is God.
God is God. There are two things that are being confused. They're what God is, who God is, and what God does. They're called the ontology and the economy of God. One is God is God, of course, but God the Father is God, Son is God, Holy Ghost is God. That is the being, but that is not, that's the essence of them. But what they do in their work is another thing. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Father. The Son is not the Spirit. The Spirit is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. They are different in what they do. Jesus Christ is the Creator. Jesus Christ is the Sustainer. Jesus Christ is the Redeemer. Jesus Christ is the Judge. Holy Spirit is the one who empowers. The Holy Spirit is the one who does the wonders. The Holy Spirit is the one who also directs people. In chapter 8, he asks, the Holy Spirit spoke and told Philip to go the way he went. And again, the Spirit spoke to Jesus, they spoke to Paul. So the Spirit can speak, the Father can speak, Lord Jesus, of course, spoke. So there's a difference between who God is and what God does. When you see God in creation, you see the Son. When no man has seen God at any time, that's the Father. And we talk about the Holy Ghost occasionally seen through what is done, or occasionally there's the one time there's a flame, that's the Holy Ghost. And one time is a dove, in the form of a dove, with the Holy Ghost. And there's still one God. The scriptures say it, and if we take the verses out, we're taking the cue of the Gnostics, who modified the Bible in the 200s, the 100s, 200s, the 300s AD. And I'm not willing to change those things.
Okay.
We're stuck then, because, you know, I came near to death once, and I am here to tell you. Actually, twice, because I really shouldn't have been walking around second time, so the doctor told me. And I know we are talking about two separate things. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the light. God created the light. Go back to it again. For there was no light, there was no day.
Jan, hang
out. Yeah, I think she's confusing a number of things, like the creation versus the Bible actually doesn't say what she says. It says God is light, and the Father is God, the Son is God, and the Holy Ghost is God.
King James Version. I'm looking at chapter 1. I am looking at, and the earth was, verse 2.
Got to hurry, but only 1 minute left.
In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light.
Okay, all right, very quickly. Very quick, David, respond that. We're running out of time, so quick here.
It does not say that the light was the first light ever. God is light. And in him there is no darkness at all, it says in 1 John. So this is a confusion of the creation versus the creator. The creation didn't have light, and then it did have light. But that's not the same as saying God, that the Son is that creation. Again, I'll refer you to the verses I talked about earlier today, earlier this broadcast, in Micah 5:2 and in this, and the five verses in six places.
Okay. We're just about out of time. Jan, thanks for calling in and bringing the points up, because I know you help teach some people one way or the other. I appreciate calling in. I really do. So we're just about out of time, David. And I appreciate what you're doing, what you're saying, and I understand where you're coming from on all those issues. I really do. I'm not the brightest bulb in the house either. But let's go to one more call we got. No, we don't have to have time. Bruce in Ohio, I'm sorry. We just don't have time. I'm so sorry. But, David, tell folks how they can learn more about you very quickly, your website or whatever.
Sure. You can go to www.chick.com, and you can find out all about Chick Publications. If you go to www.chick.com and put /Bible, you go onto my page, and you'll find my books and a link to the YouTube channel. If you go to youtube.com/, put an @ and write Chick Tracks, you'll find I've done over 390 videos plus a bunch of other stuff on there. Lots of things for you guys to watch for free. It's all there. Everything's searchable. Everything's easy to find. And the books are also available as ebooks and through Amazon, as well as through Chick Publications.
All right, David Daniels, thank you so much for joining us tonight, and thank you for explaining all things that a lot of people may not understood. And I'll be in touch in the future. We'll do it again sometime. How's that?
All right. God bless you, Rich.
All right, take care, Dave. Folks, by the grace of God, see you tomorrow night. And Bruce, I'm so sorry, ran out of time. I can't stop the clock. So we'll see you tomorrow night, Lord willing, and have a great night. Good night.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen.
Melody Cederstrom and CSC Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interest of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSCTalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America